that's what we do. So, okay, so thank you all for being here, for being so attentive. I'll give you just the next few minutes what's going to happen. We're going to cover the lie, and you're going to think, really, is it that all there is? Yeah, pretty much. The book covers it well. Don't film yet, Helen. Then after we do that, Holly's going to wrap up some things. She wants to say a few things. And then we're going, and I promise we'd do this. I think we should do it, and we'll see how it goes. If you want to stay and see a full-blown demonstration, we're going to do one, okay? So if you want to stay and see one, if you're a part of our Grace Fellowship, you've already been through Freedom Prayer, you've already seen it, I would recommend you not stay unless you just really want to, because if it's a small enough group of people, we're going to get out of this room and probably go to my office, because I have a really hard time hearing in here, and we can't be this spread out. I don't want to mic the person we're praying for. You know, I can talk loud enough so you'd hear me, but you won't be able to hear what they're saying if we stay in this room. So I'd rather get out of here. That's my dad. I'll call him back. So that's what we'll do. That's the end of the agenda. So we will dismiss after that. We're going to take questions. So if you have questions, get them ready. All right. Okay, Helen, so you good to go? We're on. So the original lie, whenever we showed the house, that's really the best picture illustration we have of what the lie is. And the lie is usually, and in the book, Holly listed a lot of examples of what the lie looks like. That's one reason we believe you need to go through Freedom Prayer. It's helpful, way helpful, if you'll go through it before you start leading people. Now, I didn't have that privilege because it didn't exist. I never had seen it. I just did it, and God is merciful, and if you don't get to go through it and you need to pray with somebody, try it. Go ahead and do it. But the lie is real important. As soon as, and some of you guys that are in the ministry and do a lot of ministry already, you recognize as soon as you start talking to somebody, you'll start getting a hint of what area the lie's in. You know, they'll say something like, I'm embarrassed, I feel embarrassed. Well, that gives you a hint what the lie might be. I'm not good enough. I'll never make it. Nobody likes me. You know, all this stuff. So you'll get that. But it's important when, as you go through these rooms, which you will with almost everybody, unless it's children usually, you'll eventually get to this place where there's a memory. How do you know that's the memory? Well, you don't. It's not always one memory. That's what's really difficult about the lie. You have to have an open mind. Some people might have just 100 memories where the same thing happened and the lie is coming from that environment. Just trust the Holy Spirit. If you don't focus and settle on one point, don't worry about it. Now, one of the ways you can tell usually that you've gotten to the original lie is it'll narrow itself down from 4 or 5 or 6 things to 1 or 2 or 3 things. And always, the original lie, like the examples Holly put in the manual, it's going to be short. It's always going to be personal. I'm all alone. Nobody loves me. I'll never get out. I'm going to die. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. There's something wrong with me. I'm not able. They'll be short, personal realities that the person believes about themselves. Now, here's how mainly you can tell when you get there. Of course, it's when you get to the Holy Spirit will settle you there. And especially starting out, Holly says this in the manual, I would do this a lot. I did it a lot when I first started. When I felt like I was at the original spot, the place where this lie was, whether it was one event or several events, it didn't matter. And when I felt like I was there, I would say, let me ask the Lord to walk you through that memory. And I want you to say this to yourself, because even though it's not true up here, it's true in here. Say to yourself as you're going through that memory that I'm dirty or that I deserve it. Say that to yourself. Just admit it's true in your heart. And have them walk that memory. Then I would ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being no pain and 10 being more than you can stand, how did that feel? And if you've identified the lie and you're at the place, it'll be a 10 or above. It'll be excruciating. Now, some people will show it, right? We talk, they give examples of that in the manual, and there's a lot. Some people, I show it. Anytime I've got to original lie, my eyes leak, my head will turn red, you know, all this stuff will happen. It hurts. It really hurts me, whatever it was. The last thing I got healed of, to me, was a big deal, was a lie that I had gotten planted in my heart when I was like in third or fourth grade, that I'm stupid. Now, I mean, y'all know, obviously, that's not true. I mean, but it, up here, it wasn't true for me either, right? It wasn't true up here, but in my heart, it was true. And when the man who was leading me to deal with this issue, it started, the smoke in my life, the bad fruit, the emotion I was feeling was anger. And it was funny because most of my anger was targeted towards Martha. Martha, are you still here? There she is. She's up there. Hi, Martha. It was targeted towards, Martha would stir up my anger, and which it was just frustration. But when the lie, when this man did this, he had me focus on the feeling, which the only feeling I felt was frustration. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings me through here, and all of a sudden, I feel a feeling that I wasn't even aware of, that it was being stupid. I felt I was stupid. Well, we went through a couple of these rooms, right? And then the next thing I know, within just like 20 minutes, I'm here. And I know I'm there. You know how I know I'm there? I felt sorry for the guy praying with me. I went from normal, everything's fine, to probably, I don't know, I was crying and it was killing me. And the man praying for me could tell. He's like, dude, what happened? I'm like, I don't know, but that's the most severe pain I've ever felt. And I hear this voice in my head screaming, no, I'm not stupid. But in my heart, I felt stupid. It was killing me. And so I felt sorry for the guy leading me because he had never seen this happen before. How can me, right, go from I'm in control, I'm even telling you what to do with me, I'm telling you what questions to ask, to how could that happen? Well, I hit that open wound in my heart. And when I hit it, a few minutes later, and I had some coping mechanisms, about 30. The more intelligent you are, the more coping mechanisms you develop, right? You do. Trust me, you do. The more spiritually sensitive you are, the more you're going to do. I had a lot. God showed me all of them. I said, God, I don't want those anymore. It's true. Up here, I know I'm not stupid, but in my heart, I believe I am, and it's killing me, God. And Jesus came, and I had an encounter with him, and 3 minutes later, I didn't feel stupid anymore, and it didn't hurt. And I said, okay, ask God to take me back through that memory, because there was a very clear memory with this for me this time. And he walked me back through it, and I felt nothing. Didn't hurt. I mean, it's amazing to me, because in that memory, just a few minutes before, I was dying. 3 minutes later, gosh, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done, thinking I was stupid. Really, that's how I felt. That's the dumbest thing I've ever believed. I can't, because I know all the different intelligence quotients and all that stuff, you know. There's a lot of different ways to measure intelligence besides just reading, writing, and arithmetic. So anyway, so that's what the original lie does. So you read the manual, and that's what you do. You just, if you think you're there, and the person has gotten that narrowed down, to what to them, and it's going to be specific to them. I'm stupid. I'm defective. I'm all alone. I'm dirty. I'm worthless. I'm not wanted. I'm going to die. It'll be a short statement. When you get there, now, if there's somebody, like I have a friend, a lady, who I have to ask her how she's feeling because she shows nothing. And I'll ask her, I'll say, how do you feel? I'm dying inside. Okay. you don't look like you're dying inside, but I trust you. I trust the Holy Spirit. And she gets healed. So you've got to, that's how you do it. You ask, ask, ask of it. It won't interrupt what God's doing. How bad does that hurt? Oh, it feels like a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, we're not there yet. That's not there yet then. It'll feel like a 10. When you're there, it'll feel like a 10 to them. So you keep going. God's going. There may be a little twist to it that's unique to them. And then once you're there, you ask them to walk back through the memory. That's what this guy did with me. God, would you walk Alan back through that memory? God did. I felt it. Extreme pain. Then Jesus came, and I had an encounter with him. And how he comes is different almost for every person. For me, I've had several no see, no feel, no hear. He just healed me. This time with the stupid thing, he showed me 4 facts that I knew in my, I already knew. There was this wasn't repressed memories or amnesia or anything. I knew these things. But when God showed me those 4 facts, that lie became a lie instead of the truth. I don't know how that happened. He just did it. That's how he did it. I'm like, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's nice not feeling stupid all the time. Not having to hide behind stuff all the time. Not having to miss what you've called me to do because I feel stupid all the time. It was really a big deal in my life. It's hard to be a pastor when you feel stupid, you know. And so that's what you do. You ask, and after you ask, and you have them walk through the event, and that's painful, guys. I mean, it is. I hate to make someone walk back through a traumatic event that hurts them. I do. But I know if they go there, and when they get there, I have this crazy thing that we all say the same thing pretty much. Jesus, would you come? And then you bite your tongue, and you wait. It's hard because you don't know. It's out of your hands. You've followed the Holy Spirit. You've done what you're supposed to do. When you get here, it's out of your hands. Maybe one time out of 1,000, Jesus told me to say something at that point. And that's really maybe 1 out of 1,000. But when you ask Jesus to come, you wait. And then you ask him. If you can't tell by looking, you ask them, what happened? Don't lead them on with your talk or the way you, don't pressure them. You just ask them. So what happened? Well, I was in the memory and I still feel dirty and worthless and not wanted. Okay, that's good, good. Let's ask Jesus to come and lead us. That means there's still something you haven't covered yet. It's okay. You go back. You do it again. You keep going. But eventually, when you ask Jesus to come, he's going to come. And they're going to know it. And I ask, what happened? And it's funny, I was telling our group, I don't think I've ever once written down what happened when Jesus came. I don't know why. I just never write that down. I told it my group, by that time I'm tired of writing. I just don't want to do it anymore. Also, it's personal. You know, it's so unique to an individual that it doesn't do me any good to know how Jesus came to Kenny with helping Gary, because it's personal. But Jesus comes. If he doesn't come, you keep working. And then, here's what I do. I still do this today most of the time. If he came, then I say, oh man, you know, we talk about it. Holly's going to talk about that very end after he comes. But after that, I'll say, would it be okay if we went back through that memory again? And that's a little hard. If it's real traumatic, that's hard. But they always will do it. I said, let's go back to that memory. I'll ask Jesus to take them back to the memory. They'll go back through a memory. And if it's healed, it'll just be a memory. There'll be peace and calm. Sometimes there's compassion. But it'll be peace and calm. If there's still something there, that's okay. That means there's something else. You know, if it went from a 10 down to a 3, good. there's still a reason if there's a 3. But when Jesus comes, it'll go from a 10 to 0. Always does. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. And so the lie is very important. Most of the problem with the lie is, if you're like me, and a lot of you are, I would want to jump the gun and figure out what the lie is, and then either tell them to get over it in a nice way. But don't believe that. I love that old Saturday Night Live skit with Bob Newhart, where he's a psychiatrist. He treats everybody for 5 minutes, $5, and everybody gets healed. Because he just tells them to stop it over and over again. And finally, people are compliant. If you tell them to stop it long enough, they'll go, okay. You can just beat them down, and then they leave worse than they came. That's not what we do. So after you do that, after you've discovered the lie, go back through the memory, check it out. It's exciting if there's still something there. It's better to know than to send them home thinking they're totally, completely healed of that. It may be something totally unrelated, you know. A lot of times, we call this a telephone pole thing. A lot of times you'll get a major thing healed in your life. It's like having a 2x4 stuck through your shoulder. Well, you know, when you have a 2x4 stuck through your shoulder, you don't notice that little splinter in the end of your finger that you can't see. But get this healed, and now that splinter becomes the center of your world, doesn't it? It's like, gosh, I didn't even know I had that splinter. Well, you didn't when you had a 2x4. Well, that's what happens. You know, people start noticing things that they never noticed before because they were so wounded and hurt. So the original lie is a big deal. The book is real good at talking about it, and you'll know. After you see it happen a time or two, after it happens to you, then you'll know what you're looking for. And it's important, but it's no more important than all this. Well, I have another acronym, FHS, Follow Holy Spirit. Key to everything, right? Okay, Holly?